there some reason you're not bowing down? Is there some reason you're not bowing down? Is a standard procedure. It's called paying obeisance. Too difficult to bow your head to the ground? Then why don't you do it? Well, you can see what everybody else is doing. It's all right. Don't let it happen again. Hare Krishna. So if you want me to lecture today, you all have to give me €5. I'm raising money for the college. This is a discount. Usually I charge €10. Vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 11, verse 17. Please repeat. Mbatribhyam inam tad adabra Viryam Upeksya Dyeditam Apramatta Guru Harish Charanopasanastro Jahi Vyalikam Swayam Atmamosham Bhatrivyam Enam Tad Adabra Viryam Upekshaya Dyeditam Apramata Guru Harish Charanopasanastro Jahivyalikam Swayam Atmamosham Bratribhyam. The formidable enemy. Enam, this mind, that adabravirium, very, very powerful. Upeksaya, by neglecting. Adyeditam, unnecessarily increased in power. Apramatta, one who is without illusion. Guru, of the spiritual master. Hare, of the Supreme personality of Godhead. Charana of the lotus feet. Upasana astra. Applying the weapon of worshipping. Jahi. Conquer. Yalikam. False. Svayam. Personally. Atmamosham. Which covers the constitutional position of the living entity. Translation: this uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the supreme personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. Purport. Jai Sisi Radha Gopina Lalita Vishaka Jai Jagannath Paladev Subhadra Jai Sri Sri Gauranitai. There is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered: neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times just after awakening and once again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction of all the shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Brahmate Kuna Bhagyam Ji Guru Krishna Prasad Dipaya Bhakti Lata Bij. When one receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's real life begins. If one abides by the orders of the spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, he is freed from service to the mind. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Jad Bharat Instructs King Rahugana. Magyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Sukaya Chakshushanmilitam Jainatasmai Sri Guru Namaha Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Dena Bhuttale Saram Rupakadamayam dadati svapadantikam mandeham sri guru sri utapadakamalam sri guru vaishnavam sri rupam sagrajatam sagana raghunatam vidantam sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagat Pate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namastite Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasandubhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Today is the anniversary of the appearance of Sri Gadadhara Pandit is none other than Srimati Radharani in the Panchatattva. In Jai Radhe, in Vrindavan, we see the words Jai Radhe written on the walls, on the trees. Srila Prabhupada said everyone in Vrindavan chants his Jai Radhe. Today we're going to discuss this verse. Nambhartim yam enam tad adabravirjam Upeksa yadyeditam apramatam Guru hares charanopasanastro jayivyalikam swayam Atma Mosham. First, I'm going to exercise my prerogative to ask the devotees who are going to nod out to take off their dress, their warm coat. That's the first thing. Bhakta Rick, that's you. Madan, that's you. Please remove your coat or open the window. I want some fresh air. I don't want you to fall asleep. It's very distracting too. So please take off your coat so that you stay awake. I'm serious. Make some cooperative attempt to learn your cold. All right then. If you nod out, who will wake you up? Okay, Mark, you check him. Rick, who's going to wake you up? Manohar? Manohar is right next to you. Manohar, will you do that? It's very serious what we're doing. Srila Prabhupada said that Shravanam and Kirtanam are very serious, and so I'm just, you know, underlining the seriousness before we start. We have a very good topic, very much can be learned today, important material, because every one of us has an uncontrolled mind. It's our covering, Atma Mosham, the words are used, Atma Mosham. We're really not covered in our constitutional position. We're apramata, without illusion. So we're in a we have a serious problem now, being covered and being illusion. We are living with our enemy, the uncontrolled mind. Please don't sit in front of the door, because others will come in. Thank you. Bhagavad Gita, of course, it makes the point that the uncontrolled mind is an enemy. I'll just review the 5th and 6th verses of chapter 6, in which Krishna tells us one must deliver the self with the help of the mind and not degrade the mind. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So we want to discover this friend, the mind that is the friend. We want to discover this and express this side of ourself. This is really our true self. The mind that's our friend is our true self, and the uncontrolled mind is not. We have a dual nature. The mind can go either way. So Krishna says, for him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, and one who has failed to do so lives with his greatest enemy. So the mind or the self, we can say the self or the mind, either way, it either rises or ascends or becomes elevated, or the self becomes lost in the world. And as Krishna just said the other day, the self just wanders throughout the world, throughout the universe, if it's lost, wandering without a goal. So the self can turn toward the real mind, toward the real self, or it can turn away from the true nature of the self. There's a dual nature, higher and lower. There's free will. Krishna's highlighting our free will by saying that you can either ascend to yoga or you can degrade to selfishness. Selfishness means you are attracted just to the sense objects. You want your senses to contact sense objects. I want to see a beautiful person. I want to talk to a beautiful person. I want to taste a lot of relishable food. And with an uncontrolled mind, you'll eat food that's not fit for a person who should be elevating his life. Eating meat and eating eggs and fish, chicken, degrade the self. The consideration is to eat food that has been offered to Krishna. Then the self is elevated in yoga. We can offer our food to Krishna with love. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayachiti. Krishna says, offer me with love anything like simple, like a flower, some water, a tulsi leaf, what you eat. And then because the offering is made with your love, then I will be happy to accept it. So bhakti yoga is Krishna's point in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna wants us to, he's telling us, I want you to become my devotee. he's helping us live free. He's teaching us how to live free of our enemy, the conditioned mind. He's saying, don't live with your conditioned mind. It'll spoil your life. You'll become lost to yourself. You won't be truly yourself. Everybody wants to be self-realized here in this room. Everybody's aspiring for self-realization. So Krishna's telling us how to achieve this. It's based on controlling the mind. The mind can cause bondage or the mind can award liberation. Other books also say this. The Prema Vivarta, a book by one of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, says, those who mistake lusty relationships to be genuine live in hell. So many people are doing this. They feel with their senses the fire of lust, and they think, wow, now I'm really waking up to life. Now I'm becoming enlivened. This must be what life is for, this pleasure. But the person who's self-controlled says, no, you're actually living in hell. If you think that that's genuine love, you're in an illusion about what love is. And they advise that when these lusty persons can do sadhana, when they can take up the practice of spiritual life, practices of spiritual life, and get Krishna's mercy, then they'll give up these bodily attachments. And they'll aspire for real pleasure, which is transcendental. So this is the work that we have to do with our life. Our whole life is to carry out the purposes described here, to become without illusion, apramata, and to uncover one's constitutional nature, atma mosham. Get rid of this atma mosham, covering. When we do this, when we become free of illusion, when we discover ourselves and express ourselves, what we'll find is that it's our nature, it's our position to carry out the order of a superior. It's not that we become independent. Rather, we find that we are subordinate living entities, and we should serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we express that in a conditioned way, then we develop some intimacy in this world, some loving intimacy for other living entities in this world, relatives, friends. So we have to learn to serve. We're going to have to serve. We have to carry out some dictation from a superior. We have to serve someone, or we have to serve the senses and the mind. Sometimes if we don't serve somebody else in this world, we may just serve our senses and mind. Or we may serve even a lower living entity, like a dog. We'll carry out the orders of the dog. The dog wants to go on a walk. We'll take the dog on a walk. Out of love for the dog, we'll have an intimate relationship with the dog instead of intimate relationship with God. So in that way, we may lose our self in this world. So the advice here by the king or to the king, King Rahugana, from Judd Bharat is not to give the mind the chance to spoil our life. We should not neglect the mind. We should pay attention that it doesn't become more and more powerful. It says here, by neglecting the mind, it will increase in power. Upekshaya deeritam apramataham. Upekshaya deeritam means if you neglect the mind, it'll increase its power. It'll have a very powerful control over you. Adabraviryam. You'll be conquered by this enemy. That's what Judd Bharat is saying. The mind is a batritvyam, formidable enemy, and very, very powerful. Adabraviryam. If you neglect it, it'll increase its power, and you'll be living under the control of an enemy. And you'll be subject to lusty desire, to greed, to illusion, to madness, to fear. Who wants to live like that? So you shouldn't neglect controlling the mind. Srila Prabhupada quotes his spiritual master, who said, you know, you should be ready to beat your mind with shoes in the morning and in the evening. So that's one meaning of neglect, means not to let it out of control. But Prabhupada, in his purport, he brings up another use of the word neglect. And he says, you can use this weapon on your mind, neglect your mind. It's called a weapon, astra. Don't become the servant of the mind. Disobey the mind's orders. So in that way you become the controller of the mind. And the enemy becomes controlled. The enemy can be controlled. And then he says in the purport, there's a third weapon for attaining control over the mind. And that is devotional service, expressed nicely in these Sanskrit words, upasana, astra, the weapon of worshipping. Worshipping whom? Guru, Haresh, Charano, upasanastro, the lotus feet of the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by getting this mercy of the spiritual master in Krishna, then your real life begins, a new life begins. A life free of illusion. And it's not very difficult to do this, because all you have to do, Krishna says, to know him is to offer your love to him. Bhakti mam abhijanati. Bhakti mam. Offer your love to me, Krishna says. So we want to love, we all want to love. That tendency is there in all of us because it's originally in Radha Gopinath, the love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, gives rise to this universal love that is present, this tendency to love is present in all of us. So, Krishna says, by offering love to me, one recognizes me fully. One recognizes me fully. One becomes fully Krishna conscious by offering love to Krishna. That's all. Krishna doesn't say, by doing yoga, you will recognize me fully. Of course, the yogis want to do that. They want to find the personality of Godhead within the heart. That's also good. The super soul is seated in the heart, along with the soul. So the yogis try to bring the concentration to the seat of the soul, to the seat of the super soul. That's also very good if they can do that. But Krishna says it's easier than that. If you just offer your love to me, you can know who I am in truth. You can know the person that you want to love. This is what people want to do when they fall in love. They want to get to know the other person. So the same principle applies in Bhakti Yoga. There was a discussion by Prabhupada about the comparison between Bhakti Yoga and yoga and Gyan and Karma. Once in a conversation Prabhupada had with an Indian gentleman, the Indian gentleman mentioned the verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, "Everyone is on my path. Everyone follows my path." And Prabhupada said that means that there are different processes, like karma, working, gyan, acquiring knowledge, and doing yoga. And Prabhupada said it's like trying to reach the top floor of a building. He mentioned specifically the World Trade Center towers, not by name, but he said now the latest building is 105 stories tall. Actually, it was 110, but another time Prabhupada said 104. He had this idea, 104, 105. The latest skyscraper. And so to get to the top, someone has to go up, to the 10th floor, say. First you have to get to the 10th floor. Then you have to get to like the 50th floor. So depending upon how far you are, how low or how high you are, that's compared to these different processes of someone will do karma. Practice karma yoga or jnana yoga. Someone will practice acquiring knowledge to try to get to the goal. And Krishna says, they're all following my path. They're all trying to eventually come to me. But they don't have the idea yet. The best way to reach me is bhakti. Just by offering their love to me, they can know me. But of course, our uncontrolled minds, we come back to the point again, our uncontrolled minds are a big problem. We become attached to many other objects of love. So what to do about this mind, how to control the mind and the senses? Srila Prabhupada just recommended that we engage our mind and senses in the service of Krishna. That's all. And then the senses are controlled and purified. Otherwise, they're as Krishna describes, they're impetuous. He says, Indriyani Pramantini, Indriyani, in chapter 2. The words are Indriyani Pramatini. Pramatiti. Indriyani Pramatiti means impetuous or agitating. The senses are agitating the mind and the self. And that's just how the senses are. We aren't the body, so we're not the senses, but the senses have a kind of way of agitating us. we're now agitated by the senses to do various things for enjoyment. We want to fulfill our desires by engaging the senses somehow. Enjoying, everybody wants to enjoy something. But this agitation of the senses, it's almost always unconquerable. You can't control the senses practically ever. They're so powerful. They're described that they may agitate even the mind of a sannyasi. The senses are so powerful. They're like snakes. Would you like to live with snakes? No, of course not. Only a few people like to have snakes as pets. You know, most of us think snakes are revolting, and they can be very dangerous. They have poisonous fangs and very dangerous. If they bite you, they can kill you. So this is a situation. One has to remove the danger, the poisonous fangs. You have to control a snake, you have to take out its poisonous fangs. Then it's harmless. Pramattini, this is how these senses are described. Indriyani, pramattini, they're like agitating, they're like snakes, and very powerful. So they can be subdued, just like when you take the poisonous fangs out of a snake's mouth. That's compared to engaging your senses in the process of Krishna consciousness. They become subdued or harmless. But people fail at this. People attempt this and then they fail. Even powerful munis, Visvamrita Muni, was trying to control his senses by the process of yoga, meditation. And he failed. Krishna says even a learned person can have his mind carried away by the senses. So they're almost always unconquerable. And what we have to do, we have to minimize our engagement with the activities of the senses, eating and sleeping and mating and defending. If we want to make spiritual advancement, the two don't go together. Engaging the senses and eating and sleeping and mating and defending doesn't go very well together with making spiritual advancement. So, Prabhupada told us, don't smoke cigarettes. And if you're accustomed to smoking, it's a problem, a little bit of a problem. I'm so used to this. You know, when we go out on Sankirtan, we meet people, or when we just travel, we meet people, they're smoking. It's hard for them to give it up. They're addicted. Nicotine actually makes you feel addicted. So they feel some difficulty. I have to give up smoking. But if they take up that principle and stick to it, then they become fit to go back to Godhead, to go back home. They become fit as souls. Free of illusion, unconditioned souls. So these are the things being taught. To the king by Jad Bharat and by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we're also learning these things. And we're qualifying ourselves to get Krishna's mercy as we apply these things. We'll get Krishna's mercy. We'll get Krishna's grace. We'll get to know Krishna. And then we'll be satisfied. We won't want these bodily attachments when we develop our loving relationship of devotional service with Krishna. No more illusion, no more covered by the the soul, the self no longer covered, will be truly ourselves. Any questions? Mind is subtle, so how can we beat it with something like the shoe or a broomstick? Well, we are more subtle than the mind. The soul is actually more subtle. The intelligence is more subtle than mind, and even more subtle than the intelligence is the soul. So we can act on that platform. Although we may not pick up a physical object with our senses and try to, you know, beat the subtle self within. The beating can take place in the sense that the highest self, or the higher self, the intelligence, or the highest self, the soul, should be in charge of the mind. That's the idea. And Prabhupada gave another good example. Maybe this will help. When you get a puppy, suppose you buy a puppy. You decide you want a puppy at home. And or someone gives you a puppy, and the puppy hasn't been trained yet to go outside, to go to the toilet. So there's a big problem. All of a sudden, you know, you have this dog in the house, and he's going to go to the toilet on your carpet or on your floor. Ugh. You know, he has to be trained. Prabhupada gave this example. So he said, the mind is like that. It has to be trained. Otherwise, it'll make a mess. So we have to recognize the problem and then deal with the problem. The dog, often to train the dog, young dog, you hit it, you know, like maybe you take a newspaper or something not so hard and you hit it when it goes, and then you put it outside and then it gets the message, I'm going to get hit if I don't do this outside. So the mind too, it can be dealt with. You can deal with the mind. The point is you have to deal with the mind. The Jud Bharat says, don't neglect. By neglecting, the mind will become more and more powerful. So the encouragement is there. Deal with your mind now. And although it's subtle, it can be corrected. The example is given of the shoe or the broomstick by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Just to make the point that, because we know we can beat something, you know, if we pick something up with our hand, we know we can use it to beat something. We can use it as a weapon, a stick or something. So he's just using that example to encourage us. Are there any other comments on that question? Maybe I missed something that he taught. Maybe he said more about this that I don't remember. That's practical application, yeah. Early to bed, early to rise, control the mind like that, beat the mind like that for your spiritual life. One has to instruct the mind, one has to give the mind instruction. Remind the self, you know, you're not doing so good, you're under the control of your mind, you should do better. And what? Yes, remember who you are. Yeah, the mind is not so bad when it's unconditioned. The mind is fine. The mind is a friend. That's good. The mind can be a friend. Yeah, our senses move toward their objects. Our senses move toward sense objects. As you said, the shopkeeper knows by putting something out, people will be attracted if they can touch it, smell it. There was a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine of two ladies on the street passing a bakery window. And, you know, very nice things to eat in the bakery. So the caption, one lady says to the other lady, "Let's just go inside and see what happens. Let's just go inside and see what happens." Because when you go inside the bakery, you'll say, "Oh, this looks good. I want to get one of these," you know. This face fun. Hare Krishna. Yes, last comment. Yeah, the self has to serve a superior. That's the nature of the self. So we should choose to serve Krishna and spiritual master. Prabhupada writes at the conclusion of his purport like that. Abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Otherwise, you're doomed to follow the dictates of the mind. So we all have, you know, we'll all have experience day to day, week by week, year by year. We'll have experience of, you know, how our mind will try to control us and how much the mind can be a friend, how much it can be an enemy. These are common experiences for devotees. Wait. That was the last comment. We'll stop there. And we can talk after. I think so. Yeah, we're way over time. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. What did you want to say, Mark? Come on, I want to hear more. I want to hear more.